In this week's parasha, of course, we read about the absolute tragic events of the Egel HaZahav. And you don't need me to recount the story, but what I would like to do with your permission is to share with you five practical lessons that we can learn from the Egel HaZahav. Five takeaway messages that we can learn from the episode and the aftermath of the Egel HaZahav. Lesson number one. The Torah tells us in our Parsha Perek Lamed Bet, and I'm not going to read it inside, but you'll see Psukim Chavav, Chavzayin, Chavchet, that with the whole story of the Egel HaZahav, and we can take a guess how many people were in Bnei Yisrael at that time. There were way more than 600,000 people. 1.5 million people, 2 million people, 3 million people. And in this huge Klal Yisrael, who have this huge story of the Egel HaZahav, take a look at the end of Pasuk Chavchet in Perek Lamed Bet Chavchet, only 3,000 people actually sinned with the Egel. Only 3,000 people were killed. That's a lot of people. But proportionally, it's not especially proportional to the story with a capital E, capital H, Egel HaZahav. And I think lesson number one is that we are all on the same team. I did nothing wrong at the Egel HaZahav, and yet my luchot were broken. You did nothing wrong, and yet Bnei Yisrael as a whole were almost wiped out were it not for Moshe Rabbeinu's intervention. This is the idea of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh, or Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Bazeh. We are all on the same team. It is a lesson that everyone needs to learn. I will say as a tangent, it's a lot easier to learn it in this country, at least as a nation. I've mentioned it to you in the past. It's just, if you're 6 years old in this country and the water is running, I told you that my kids used to hopefully, respectfully, critique one of my family members when they would leave the water on for too long. The shower, you're showering for too long? Now the bottom line is you will have enough water, but your neighbors won't. Or Klal Yisrael in the north won't, or in the south won't. Your father, your brother, your son is going off to war, not for him, but for Klal Yisrael. So we live a life of Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh Lazeh. I'm sure you heard the story, but I'll just say it because if you don't know it, I don't want to be held responsible for you not to know it. But the Kutzker Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel of Kutsk, used to explain or describe a certain person who cared only about themselves as a tzaddik in pelts. Have you heard this expression before? Oh, if you haven't, then I appreciate the opportunity to sharing it with you. The Kutzker Rebbe said, imagine you're in your house or you're in the Beit Midrash and it's freezing. So what do? You put on your fur coat, your pelts. Who gets warm when you put on your pelts?
You do.
Only you do. Another person lights a fire for the whole room, or turns on the heat for the whole room. It's not a great specific example here because some people are colder than others, but if it's freezing and everyone agrees it's freezing, then don't put on don't be a tzaddik in pelts. Be a tzaddik by lighting up a fire for everyone. Happens all the time. You come to a class and there's not enough chairs. Maybe don't bring one, maybe bring two or three, depending on how much you can schlep. It means we're all in this together. There was a great story about Rav Aryeh Levin, the tzaddik of Yerushalayim. It's written in his book. The book is called Tzaddik in Our Time. I think we have it here. It's a tremendous biography. And the story goes is that his wife broke her leg, sprained her leg, and they went to the hospital. And Rav Aryeh Levin, they come into the emergency room, and the nurse says, "What's the matter?" And he says, the quote is, "Oh, my wife's leg is hurting us." Isn't that beautiful? My bracha to you is that you have someone in your life that cares about you as much as they care about themselves. Amen. We should think about that in all of Klal Yisrael. You did nothing wrong at Har Sinai, and yet here we are on the brink of destruction because some people did something wrong. I can't say them, and I can't say them. I am positive you know the Medrash. It's actually a Medrash about the people on a boat, and one person begins drilling a hole under his boat. You heard that before? That's this. You can't say, "Well, I'm fine. He's drilling a hole." We're all in trouble. This person's in trouble. We're all in trouble. That is lesson number one. Lesson number two is that what we do today has an impact tomorrow. Whatever we do today, however small, has an impact on the future. There is a story that is told about Rav Shimon Schwab. Rav Shimon Schwab died in 1995, and he was a very young man. He spent Shabbos with the Chafetz Chaim. That one Shabbos created a lot of stories. One of the stories is that the Chafetz Chaim, while they were schmoozing at one point or another, the Chafetz Chaim said to Rav Shimon Schwab, "Are you a Kohen? Are you a Levi?" So Rav Shimon Schwab said, "No, and I'm Israel." Chafetz Chaim said to him, too bad. Mashiach is coming. Kohanim, Rabbi Israel, the Chafetz Chaim himself was a Kohen. Rabbi Israel Meir HaKohen. Maybe he was called Kagan. Israel Meir HaKohen Cook. I don't know, that's somebody else. Rabbi Israel Meir HaKohen. Anyway, so he was a Kohen, and he said, "Oh, too bad. The Mikdash is going to be built, and you're not going to be able to participate." Yeah, it's a real shame. Then the Chafetz Chaim says to Rav Shimon Schwab, "Why aren't you a Kohen?" And that is a question you can ask a kindergartner. So Rav Shimon Schwab thought that maybe he didn't understand the question. He said, "Well, you know, my father's not a Kohen." Chafetz Chaim says, "Well, why isn't your father a Kohen?" And finally, Rav Schwab didn't understand, "Well, his father." The Chafetz Chaim says, "I will tell you why. I will tell you why I'm a Kohen and why you're not a Kohen. Because 3,500 years ago, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, 'Mi Lashem Elai,' my great, 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 great grandfather got up, walked around, and stood behind Moshe Rabbeinu. Your great, 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 great grandfather, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, 'Mi Lashem Elai,' stayed seated and didn't do anything. What you do today has an impact for the future." And that's lesson number two. Obviously, powerful, nerve-wracking, everything I do. There's nothing that happens without an impact. But that does lead us to lesson number three. And that is, you can make mistakes. Don't fall into a depression. You and I would not be sitting here today if every single time B'nai Israel or members of B'nai Israel made a mistake, they gave up. Sink into a depression. You have any idea how many mistakes were made in the Yom Kippur War? You know, I mean, and that's the most, not most recent, that's not even the most recent. And go back. The Egel HaZahav was the greatest mistake, and that is an understatement. Part of the idea of the Egel is you can dust yourself off and have a glorious future. I have to share an idea with you from the Igra Dekala. Igra Dekala was a sefer written by Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro. Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro was also the author of a sefer called B'nai Yisaschar. Rav Tzvi Elimelech Shapiro, the B'nai Yisaschar, He was the student of the Chose of Lublin. B'nai Yisachar, student of the Chose of Lublin, he wrote a sefer called Iker Dekala, and he has a Dvar Torah that is everything he writes there is a keeper. Here's also a keeper. It's a Dvar Torah that doesn't agree with all the Gemaras, because the Gemara, it's not clear what script was used to write the Torah. But we're going to assume for this Dvar Torah that the same script you and I know is the same script as we used to write the Torah. Ready? Here we go. Actually, that's not true. I withdraw what I just said. This is true regardless. I withdraw what I said. It's true regardless. I was thinking of something else. Says the Iker Dekala, Rabbi Yehuda Melech Shapiro, that there are only two psukim. Oh, sorry. I was right. It's only according... I'm sorry. I was wrong in correcting myself. There's only a Dvar Torah according to the people who hold that the Torah was written in Ktav Ashurit. If it was written in Ktav Ivri, then this Dvar Torah may not work perfectly, but all right, it's okay. Tzvi Yehuda Melech Shapiro says that there are only two psukim in the entire Torah that start with a samech, and they're both in this week's parsha. One is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, Saru maher mina derech, these B'nai Yisrael, they veered off the path. They've made a great mistake. Saru mina derech. They've veered off the path. What's another pasuk that starts with Samach in this week's parsha? Slach na la'avon hazeh. Slach na la'am hazeh. Forgive B'nai Yisrael. Two psukim in the entire Torah, beginning with the Samach. One talks about B'nai Yisrael's absolute destruction and end. And one talks about hope and forgiveness and rebirth and renewal. And this is where the Dvar Torah points to Ktav Ashurit versus Ktav Ivrit. They are only, the only psukim beginning with the Samach. It's a circle. You're down on your luck. You messed up. Wait around a little bit. It'll come back. Oh, you're on top. Don't be so sure. It's a wheel. Things do tend to turn around. The letter Samach is a circle. If you believe you can sin, if you can believe you can mess up, then follow the same Samach to remind yourself of Slachna. Slachna labonazeh ki godel chasdecha. Every slichot. The epitome of forgiveness is this week's parsha. So that is lesson number three. This similar lesson is what we say, as I said, every time we say slichot, Hashem, Hashem, kel rachum v'chanun. The Gemara tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu learned how to ask for forgiveness. Nothing is worse than Klal Yisrael at their lowest after Har Sinai. And we can use that. The Gemara says, why does it say Hashem, Hashem twice? Because it's the same God. Hashem kodem hachet, and Hashem li achar hachet. So the Gemara says about Hashem, Hashem. Your parents, for example, love you. You mess up once in a while, they don't stop loving you. They love you. They're your parents before you mess up. And their parents, they are your parents who love you even afterwards. Your husband and your children. HaKadosh Baruch Hu of all, more than anyone, loves us. And Rabbi Soloveitchik, if you ever had a chance to learn Ala Tshuva, he describes in very poetic fashion, Hashem, Hashem, Hashem le'achar achet. Hashem, no matter where you are, there's a certain voice that he always calls out, come back to me. Come back to me now. He always says, come back. I'm there. There are a lot of Divrei Torah that I could share about a GPS. Some parts of a GPS are ways that I like, and some parts that I don't like. But one of the Divrei Torah, in other words, there's a Divrei Torah that can tell you why it's a pain in the neck and wrong, but there's a beautiful Divrei Torah I heard in the name of Rabbi, Chief Rabbi Dr. Lord Jonathan Sachs, about the ways that when I'm driving along And the Mishnah in Pirkei Avot already told me that there's an Ayin Ro'ah, but now the Waze shows it to me in my face. And it is telling me which way to go. Waze is telling me go straight. And for some stupid reason, Nichnas bi Ruach Shtutz. Ein Adam Chote Ela Imkein Nichnas bo Ruach Shtutz. I decide to make a right, even though Waze told me to go straight. And what does Waze tell you to do? How to come back to the main path. It tells you how to come back. The lady on Waze doesn't tell you, ah, you're an idiot, goodbye, shut down. She's so sweet. She says, you made a wrong turn. Everybody makes wrong turns. I have a different voice maybe than yours. Everyone makes wrong turns. At the next intersection, make a left and another left, and you'll get back on the path again. That's Lahavdil Elef Alfei Hevdalot, the voice that Rabbi Soloveitchik is talking about in Alei Teshuva. Hashem, Hashem, you messed up. Everybody messes up. There's nobody who messed up more than Bnei Yisrael. And they came back. You can come back too. The Kutzker Rebbe said that the Yetzer Hara, again the Kutzker Rebbe, two in one night, that's jackpot. Kutzker Rebbe said that the Yetzer Hara has two jobs. One job is to get you to sin. That happens. But he's got a second job that's even worse than the first. And that is to convince you that there's no way back. I'm sure you're familiar with the fact that Rebbe Meir had a Rebbe who went off the derech. Are you familiar with that? His nickname afterwards was Acher. His real name was Alisha Ben Avuya. And this is another Rabbi Soloveitchik, two in one night. A double jackpot. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, he quotes that Gemara, and he says, you may remember that on Shabbos, Rabbi Meir was walking and Alisha Ben Avuya was riding on his horse. And they get to the tchum, and Rabbi Meir and Alisha ben Avuya, the mamish became an apikores, turns to his talmid and says, "My student, you got to stop here. You got to stop here. This is the tchum Shabbos. I won't give any too many details. I don't know who knows the story, but I have a family friend on my parents' age level. My parents grew up with this guy who used to know Gemara's backwards and forwards, and today I'm not God. I don't know if it doesn't seem to be externally that he is currently observant of Torah mitzvah, but I really don't know for sure. And I remember specifically when I was a kid, 10th grade, 9th grade, I remember him at our house and he took out his bag and he was eating schnitzel. And so I said, "Hey, you know, can I have?" And he said, "This ain't schnitzel. It's McDonald's, it's McNuggets. You can't eat it." It was really like, you know, why just give it to me? No, because, and that's Lahavdil, Lahavdil, Lahavdil. I'm not comparing that person to Alisha ben Avuya, but Alisha ben Avuya says, "Ad kan. You can't go further. It's Tchum Shabbos." And Rabbi Meir says, "Come back. Come back." And Alisha ben Avuya says, "I heard a bat kol which said, everyone can come back. Chutz Me'acher." You familiar with that? Chutz Me'acher. So now Rabbi Soloveitchik says, mind-boggling. Rabbi Soloveitchik said, there was no batko. You saw that? There was no batko. His own mind. The Yetzer Hara made him. There was no batko. Chutz Me'acher, there's no such thing as Chutz Me'acher. You too, Acher, you can come back. And if Bnei Yisrael can come back, and if Acher can come back, then I can also come back if I made a mistake. And this is all lesson number 3. You can make changes. You're not stuck. You can make changes. And that's a lesson about the Egel that I think is really important, that all of us can learn from. Some of you have learned the letter of Yitzchak Huttner. We'll do it at a different time, but Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. I think I saw it today on the copier. Yeah. Did someone learn Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam today? Who learned that? Somebody, some class today, last week? Yeah, Rav Noam. Sheva Yipol Tzadik Vakam. Rav Yitzchak Kuttner wrote a letter to his student. His student said that I'm falling, and Rav Huttner, I'm not going to go through it now because I want to read the letter inside. You read it inside? Oh, I'm going to read it inside. It's a major letter that should be posted on everybody's dorm room door. He basically said, everybody falls, and that's a sign of greatness. It's a form of greatness. Everybody falls. That's lesson number three. Lesson number four is the following. Lesson number four is that when you do make changes, make those changes last and make those changes stick. Don't make quick changes. Quick changes up are almost always quick changes down. Ephemeral changes are exactly that. It's what the world today calls flipping out. And there's a song now called Flipping In, I understand. I think I heard it. Flipping out. Almost always, quick changes mean nothing. And I'm going to quote to you from Nechama Leibowitz in this week's Parsha. Miracles, even if they change nature, cannot change human nature. B'nei Yisrael, one can say, and please excuse the humor, B'nei Yisrael flipped out. They went from the lowest of the lowest of the low, physically, geographically, spiritually, to the highest of the highest of the highest. The nobodies of Klal Yisrael were prophets. That didn't last very long, did it? Egel HaZahav happens when people make those quick changes. Nechama Leibowitz says, miracles, even if they change nature, cannot change human nature. They can, says Nechama Leibowitz, they can shake the human soul out of its everyday concepts, but they cannot in themselves effect a lasting transformation. One single religious experience cannot change a person. Only a prolonged disciplining in the Torah could accomplish that. And here's the quote, or the final quote from Nechama Leibowitz. Spontaneous overnight growth is, in reality, no growth at all. Lesson number five is from the Egel also. Look what happened to B'nai Yisrael. Quick changes up often bring with them quick changes down. And so when we do change, it's going to be slow and steady wins the race. It's going to be small, digestible, doable pieces. And we're not going to flip out. That is lesson number four, and now lesson number five. Don't let that fear of quick change cause you to fear change. Don't let that fear of quick change cause you to run away from all change. I want to start saying Ala Michya with Kavana, but I'm not going to. What do you think, I'm flipping out? You think I'm flipping? I'm not going to flip out. I flip out. God, what do you think, I'm flipping out? Oh, you're flipping out. Oh, you're flipping out. Do you know how damaging are you flipping out? Those words, are you flipping out? You flipped out. A person is working on themselves and they finally got the guts to show you that they want to wear a skirt that's a little longer for whatever reason, or to daven a little better, or to learn without talking about silliness. And they worked on it so much that they finally decided to bring it out into the open. They finally decided to bring it to you. And what do you say? Oh, look who's flipping out! Look who's flipping out. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not going to flip out. I think I'm flipping out. It's a dangerous word. These are dangerous words. They can kill somebody. And so because of lesson number four, don't flip out. Lesson number five is, you can go through life never changing. Too afraid of flipping out. You're too afraid of making quick changes. Why should I make quick changes? Well, guess what? Sometimes you have to make jump a little bit. Sometimes you do have to jump a little bit. Those of you who play American baseball know that there's something called first base and there's something called second base, there's something called third base, something called home or home plate. And guess what? There's really nothing in between. The only way to steal second base is by taking your foot off of first. There's no first base and a little bit. Okay, I'm standing over here now. Well, why did you tag me out? I'm just growing slowly towards second base. Well, guess what? You're out. You're out now. Nah, you don't respect me. You don't respect me or admire me. The answer is sometimes, and some people have small distances and sometimes a little jump, but we do it. So I every time I talk about the quick changes of the Egel HaZahav, I must immediately talk about the next lesson of don't let that scare you. Were you born in this world to stay the same? Were you given the neshama that God gave you to be the exact same person today that you were yesterday? Did God give you the job that you were hired for so that you would do nothing? Did your parents send you to elementary school and high school and to Israel and to post-Israel so that you would just basically be the same person? I like the way I am. Of course you like the way you are because you're amazing. A little more amazing. A little bit different. And you're going to do it respectfully and you're not going to cause clashes and chalila v'chas not get any machloket with friends and family. But if you're not changing, then what is it about? What are you here for? What are you here for? And what are you here for? If you're the exact same person you were, and of course I'm not talking physically. If you're the exact same person you were in August, and last August, and next August, then somebody made a huge mistake. Some of it's us, and some of it's you. And when I say us, I mean your elementary schools, and your parents, and your high schools, and Israel, and everything. So we change, but we do it properly, smart, slowly. We don't run away from change. Mirtz Hashem, ladies. We know the story of the Egel HaZahav. But perhaps we can take the lessons of the Egel HaZahav and we can do something in our lives to prevent, Mirtz Hashem, our own Chalila V'chas future Egel HaZahavs. Have a great evening, everyone.